Warning, the podcast you are about to hear is often based on true events and people. It chronicles the dialogue and actions of random, anonymous, obnoxious, self-entitled, unintelligent, self-centered idiots, attention whores, ignoramuses, dolts, clods, nimrods, douches, weirdos, drama queens, overly sensitive crybabies, and people who think they are better, more important, and special than the rest of us. In one word, amateurs.
It's Amateur Nation with Lou Santini. We call attention to and call out the amateurs, the people who are doing life wrong, the speed bumps of life, the people that are in your way every day, the unintelligent, obnoxious, attention-whoring, self-entitled drama queen victim types who chip away at the moments of your life due to no self-awareness, common sense, manners, or social skills, and are disturbing the flow of the pros. Hi, Mom.
Oh, hey, Lou.
Amateur Nation, it's not just a podcast, it's a movement. This is episode 103, Companies Feeding Amateur Nation. Before we get started, please subscribe to my YouTube page where you can check out the podcast previews for all 103 episodes in case you want to get caught up or find your favorite subjects. And you can watch this podcast now starting at episode 99. Also, please go to Amazon and download my book, Amateur Nation, The Decline of Common Sense, Manners, and Social Skills. It's only $4.99. And you can email me with your comments, suggestions, criticisms, and sarcasm, lou@lousantini.com. I welcome the sarcasm. Before we get started, I realize last week was the two-year anniversary of this show, and I usually produce the Emmy Awards. It would have been the third Emmy Award show, but seeing how things are a lot upended, the Emmy Awards are just postponed, kind of like the Hollywood Awards shows. Same thing, without the lying, the virtue signaling, grandstanding, and covering up child trafficking. All right, so here's what's happening in Amateur Nation. Topic number one. I have never had AI in my house, artificial intelligence, you know, Alexa or an Echo or anything like that. Never mind the obvious implications of spying and selling my information. I simply don't have one because I find them to be lazy, and I'm not a lazy person. I'm not judging you if you have one, but maybe after this first topic, you might throw it in the garbage, which I highly recommend. Every time I see a commercial for one of these things, oh, by the way, like I have a brand new a few months old, brand new 65-inch television. By the way, please, everyone stop saying flat-screen TV. They're all flat-screen now. Anyway, and I use Sling as how I watch programming, right? And at the bottom, every now and then, when the screensaver is on, at the bottom, it'll say, you know, try using Alexa. And it'll give me a sample question, not making this up. Alexa, tell me a math joke. This is what technology is doing for us now? Anyway, every time I see a commercial for some kind of AI to have in your home, it's always some woke amateur sitting on his couch and who wants to know how big the equator is for some stupid reason. Bad enough no one picks up a book or goes to a library, but now we're too lazy to even reach for the phone to Google it or just even use Siri and say, hey, how big is the equator? We just want to shout things into the air and demand knowledge that we normally don't need. Anyway. Then come the stories from personal friends of mine who have been on this show, who have told me stories of catching their significant others cheating on them because Alexa slash Google accidentally narked on them because they were looking at dating sites or making plans with the person that they're cheating with. I don't need AI to turn on my car or turn on my lights or turn up the music. I have hands and a brain. And now this. Amazon Alexa apps found to leak banking history, usernames, and phone numbers. Still want to keep that? Checkpoint researchers identified a gaping hole in Alexa, Amazon's voice assistant platform, that could leak a variety of personal data. The findings show that certain Amazon and Alexa subdomains were vulnerable to something called cross-origin resource sharing, misconfiguration, and cross-site scripting. All right, what does that mean? Basically, it means all sorts of personal data is available to hackers who want to abuse the platform. All it would take is one click on an Amazon link that has been specially crafted by the hacker. Vulnerabilities would have allowed an attacker to, quote, install apps on a user's Alexa account. I'd like to come home and find a bunch of apps that you didn't order. Get a list of all installed apps on the user's Alexa account. That's nice. Remove apps that you may have, get the victim's voice history with Alexa, and get the victim's personal information. Now, earlier this year, a similar bug was found in Google Voice browser. While Amazon does not record banking login credentials, you spy on every goddamn thing that we do. I'm supposed to think you go like this when it comes to our login credentials, when it comes to banking. It does record banking interactions. Oh, I feel much better. The hacker also would have gained access to the chat history to learn the interactions with the bank app and get their data history. Usernames and phone numbers, depending on the apps installed on the user's Alexa account, were also available. Data estimates that Amazon will have sold more than 200 million Alexa devices by the end of last year. Before we move on to the next topic, again, not judging if you have one. I get it. I have friends who, like, whatever the new shiny piece of tech is, cars, gadgets, they want them. I understand that. That's the way I am with cars. The difference is I can't afford, you know, 75 different cars at the same time. You know, little electronic gadgets, a little bit more affordable. But ask yourself, not only when it comes to AI, but I ask myself this question anytime I purchase any kind of new technology or replace old technology, and that is this really making my life easier? Or is it just another thing to worry about? Something else to monitor? Something else that requires a password? You know, it's funny, my Kaiser Health password, no big deal, 8 digits. But try to order a pizza online, you have to go through CAPTCHA, and it has to be case sensitive. You need uppercase, lowercase, a number, and some kind of punctuation mark. I don't understand it. But is AI really making your life easier? Is it just another thing to monitor? That's not convenience, okay? And we wonder why China has all our information. Amateurs have been volunteering it for years. We can change our passwords. We have to use CAPTCHA to order a pizza, like I said, and then voluntarily offer literally every random thought, need, chore, and yes, banking information on your social media without a thought. Disconnect and destroy your AI. You don't need it. Topic number two. You know, since the pandemic shutdowns hoax has started, I've talked about major corporations ad nauseum and companies and or just other organizations, high-powered organizations that have forced their beliefs, opinions, and causes down an amateur public's throat, usually due to some phony woke stance with a healthy dose of virtue signaling. Now, going back to episode 97, where I mentioned that FedEx demanded that the Washington Redskins change their name, Uber Eats giving preferential treatment to black-owned restaurants, and the blatant hypocrisy of Nike, the slave-run sweatshop, demanding that they actually removed Redskins gear from their Nike website, just to name a few. As I said in episode 97, no company should be ever supporting causes. We should not know. A company can't support a cause because companies are made up of people. Those companies are, in the case of FedEx, 425,000 employees. You mean to tell me that FedEx, the CEO, the chair, the board of directors, the chairman of the board, they all speak for all 425,000 people that work there? Whether it's upper management, middle management, the drivers, people working in the fulfillment centers, the warehouse, whatever. Companies should not have beliefs. We should not know that. On either side, people can have beliefs. And when you say companies are boycotting due to political beliefs, well, then they are saying that they're more powerful than each of us as individuals. And that should never be. If you own your own mom and pop shop, you own your little tiny restaurant, that's your own business, right? That's your right. If you want to have a stance, some political stance, that is your right because you own it. Okay, but once you start getting into these large corporations, I think it's dumb. I think everyone's money is green. I'll take anyone's money. I don't care what your beliefs are. When I have a garage sale, I don't ask, oh, who'd you vote for? What are your religious beliefs? What about your social beliefs? Just give me your money. That's all I care about. Did you treat me with common sense, manners, and good social skills? Did you pay me what I asked? Okay, on your way. Thanks for shopping Lou Santini Enterprises. That's all I care about. I've sold Amateur Nation swag on my website. Do you think I ask them to fill out a form asking what their political, religious, and social stances are? I don't care. But once large companies in these multinational corporations begin to speak on behalf of not only its employees, but America, Well, then they're just mad with power and start shoving public policy and, worst, shaping public belief systems. That's not why they are in business. Nike, your job is to sell shoes and athletic apparel. That's it. Shut your suck box and sell your stupid shoes that are overpriced and made with child slave labor. They're not in the business of shaping beliefs. Actually, they are now. A lot of these big companies are. We're seeing that more and more. These companies that, well, we stand for this or we're against that. I don't care. I would never even worried about that until you told me. And guess what? I'm keeping a detailed list of companies that shove their beliefs down my throat, even if I agree with them. It's like, I don't care about that. I just wanted your product or your service. Get out of my life. You got my money. I have your product or service. Away with you. You're done. We're done here. This just came from something called the SarahCarterShow.com. Leaked audio reveals Goodyear lied. It endorsed Black Lives Matter and banned Blue Lives Matter. Goodyear executives in Topeka, Kansas warned employees this week during diversity training that they could be reprimanded for wearing accessories that promote or support law enforcement like Blue Lives Matter at work. The executives' training said face coverings, t-shirts, and accessories that promote Black Lives Matter and LGBTQ, however, would be acceptable. After this story broke this week, Goodyear executives in Kansas said the employees lied about the information given to a local news station, that is, until an audio recording leaked of the diversity training. In the audio, an unidentified executive states, quote, that if any associate wears all blue White Lives Matter shirts or face coverings, that will not be appropriate. The unidentified executive conducting the training said the rules now around what you can wear, let's try and comply with these so that you know everybody feels good in this factory. Communist much? He added, I want to make sure, guys, that we think about what we do. Yeah, you make fucking tires. Stick with that. Some people may wish to express their views on social justice or inequity or equality issues such as Black Lives Matter or LGBTQ pride on their face covering shirts or wristbands. That will be deemed approved because it applies with a zero tolerance stance, he says. The story was first reported by WBIW, a local Topeka news outlet. The story, along with a photo, was leaked from an anonymous employee who attended the training. The training was conducted at Goodyear's corporate offices in Akron, Ohio, my home state. Companies should not have political stances on either side. They just shouldn't, especially large corporations comprised of thousands, tens of thousands, or more employees. That assumes the company, again, speaks for every employee, which of course is absurd, regardless of the belief. The only non-price/quality sales tactic that gets my attention, if a company wants to throw some kind of if they come at me with some angle besides lower price, better quality, newer convenience or whatever, the only one that gets my attention now, made in America, and it better fucking work. As many astute pros on Facebook said regarding this article, go woke, go broke. And as I've mentioned here before, when it comes to being woke, it might look good on the surface, but doing the right thing isn't always popular, and doing what is popular is not always the right thing. Topic number three. And now from our Why Would Anyone Agree to This file. This is from the Daily Wire. Here's your headline. School district making parents, I love that, making parents sign waiver agreeing not to monitor virtual instruction. Oh, where do I sign? This sounds totally above board. A school district in Tennessee is asking parents to sign a form agreeing not to monitor their children's virtual classrooms over concerns that non-student observers could overhear confidential information. Hey, son, how was school today? I'm not at liberty to say that right now. That is confidential. I have teacher-student confidentiality. Yeah, you're six. The form, a copy of which was sent to the Tennessee Star, reads, quote, RCS strives to present these opportunities in a secure format that protects student privacy to the greatest extent possible. However, because these meetings will occur virtually, RCS is limited in its ability to fully control certain factors, such as non-student observers that may be present in the home of a student participating in the virtual meeting. The agreement goes on to strongly discourage non-student observation of online meetings due to the potential of confidential information about a student being revealed. Nice try. What's that saying that I often say? Don't shit on my cupcake and call it frosting. The title of last week's episode. And while it does not specifically say that parents may not be present while their child is participating in virtual instruction, it does say that a violation of this agreement may result in RCS removing my child from the virtual meeting. Sounds like blackmail. Sounds like a threat. And an unfounded one. And kind of an illegal one. Right? So they're saying, sign this that you're not going to be in the background hovering over your student while we virtually teach him or her. And two, if you do, we reserve the right to not educate your kid. That's what it's saying. Two quick things. Number one, ever since I was in grade school, all I kept hearing teachers say and complain about, especially during those PTA meetings, parents need to take an active interest in their kids' education. We can't do it all by ourselves. I have respect for teachers. I've been a substitute teacher. I have spoken in classrooms on career days. Some of the kids behaved well, some of them did not. Sometimes in front of 20 kids, sometimes in front of 2,000 in the LA Unified School District, one of the toughest school districts in the country. I got patted down, had to go through a metal detector. I had to have a security guard walk me to and from the auditorium where I spoke. It was tough. It's a tough job being a teacher. I agree that you're not paid enough. I agree that it's a tough job and that classrooms are overcrowded, but that's an overall problem with the education system, which I think we could definitely be working on. However, it doesn't give you the right to blackmail parents. It's bad enough you're not in school. It's bad enough the pandemic hoax isn't allowing kids to go to school. Now you're telling them, turn around while we teach your kid. Don't even ask them about it, or we won't educate your kid. Bye-bye. Teachers, you're making yourselves obsolete. And by the way, what are you hiding? Well, in an email to parents sent earlier this week, the Rutherford School District said they're taking parents' concerns under advisement. How nice. They said, we are aware of the concern that has been raised about this distance learning letter that was sent to parents. A spokesperson told the Star, the intent was not to prevent parents from being involved with their children during distance learning. Yes, it was. Shut the up. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. But it was intended to protect the academic privacy of other students in the classroom who are visible during certain virtual class sessions. Yeah, and? I don't know where you were raised, but I know every now and then they invited parents to simply come in and watch the class. I remember my mom, my dad, sometimes together, sometimes separately, would just basically sit in the back of the room and just observe for one class. That was it. Sometimes they wouldn't say, hey, this is Lou's mom, this is Lou's dad, these are Lou's parents. Sometimes they would just come in the back. Half the time the kids thought, oh my God, is that like the superintendent? And everyone sits up a little bit straighter and is on their best behavior because a strange adult is in the room. Nothing wrong with that. I would like to think that parents, whether it's public school or private school, definitely not only should not be told not to to watch, they should be encouraged to pay attention, come on in. Watch online. Pay attention to what we're teaching your kid. That's good parenting. That's good teaching. That's a responsible education system. Instead, the school district is now instructing parents not to record virtual instruction to view later. So they don't even want you hitting the record button. You'll never be able to monitor that, which tells me parents absolutely record every single virtual teaching session your kid has. Record them all. Every one of them. You put the bug of doubt in my ear, well, now I have to watch it. They said, we have issued new guidance to principals, excuse me, that parents can assist their children during virtual group sessions with permission of the instructor, but should refrain from sharing or recording any information about other students in the classroom. That's the only part of that I agree with. Yes, no parent has the right to record a teaching session and then share information about another student. But you know what that's called? Lawsuit. That parent would be responsible and probably get sued and probably would lose. That's the risk they take. Right? I don't think any parent gives two shits about what other kids are doing in that classroom, what they're learning. They care about what their kid is learning, how their kid is behaving, that their kid is safe. That's it. And if each parent wants to pay attention, great. But sadly, you know, there'll be a lot of woke parents out there. Oh, okay. Well, I want my child to be comfortable and safe. Well, you're an idiot. You're an amateur. Virtual education, now normal in most public school districts across the country in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic, does offer parents a more hands-on experience in their children's education, an experience that prior to school year kickoff seemed to be of a concern to some teachers who see promoting social justice as part of their role as an educator, which I'm here to tell you, it is not. Teach facts, science facts, math facts, English facts, public speaking facts, home ec, physical fitness facts, social science facts, and history facts. Your opinion, teachers, don't matter. You want to force your opinion down your throat? Start a podcast, rookies. Got it? Do you see the direction the world is taking? Do you see? Yet, amateurs? I know the pros do. I'm talking to the amateurs. Spy on our conversations, our emails, social media, and purchases, and then deny transparency when it comes to education. Take all of our information, give you none back. No one, regardless of race, religion, or political affiliation, should be okay with that. That is my favorite, common sense. So it's okay for Facebook, Google, Twitter, Amazon, Alexa, Ring, etc. to spy on us and sell our information, including banking that I just talked about, but we're not allowed to look over our kids' shoulders when they're on the computer? Nice try, amateurs. Ain't happening. All right, let's get some quickies here. You ready? All right, this. Fail, boycott, nope. Kevin Hart and Will Smith remaking Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, starring my favorite entertainer of all time. He's in my Mount Rushmore of comedians, Steve Martin. John Candy, of course, a legend. Kevin Hart and Will Smith are not even in the same stratosphere, and they're funny people, but they're not even in the same stratosphere of the comedic genius that was John Candy and legendary Steve Martin, and then, of course, the superb chemistry that both of them had together. The movie was 100% perfect. And even though it was done in the late 80s, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is timeless. There's nothing in there that's dated. Not at all. You know, I thought of another food besides chocolate chip cookies that I've never been disappointed by. Here it is. Ketchup. Yes, you could argue it's not food, it's a condiment, but you know what? Ketchup's batting average for me is 1,000. I'm a Heinz man, but even the worst ketchup I've ever had got the job done. Oh, sorry. Breaking news. This just in. Dr. Keebler Elf Fauci says people should wear a mask when using CPAP machines. He did not specify if you wear it under or over the CPAP. You know, okay, so while I respect the discipline of vegans, vegetarians, you know, I get it. I respect that discipline. I could never do it. I just like barbecue too much. If they go to such pains to make replicas of meat, now, I'm not that guy, we'll just eat meat. I'm not that guy because there's many reasons why people would be vegan or vegetarian. Much of the time, it's for health reasons. Maybe they can't have meat. Their digestive system can't handle it. I get that. But if they're going to such pains to make these replicas of meat, because, you know, just stop trying to convince us and yourself that, oh, it's the same. It tastes the same. It feels the same. Well, you know what? You picked salad, you get salad. Stop fucking with fake meat. It doesn't work. You don't see non-vegans coming up with salad substitutes that are made from beef. That is, until I saw this. You ready to get, say, ew? Here it is. Oh, yikes. Time now for three pro things. Three things that are done right. Number one. Okay, this is a French film. It's an action movie called Lost Bullet. This is the movie Fast and the Furious could have been. Now, I get it. Fast and the Furious was created thinking franchise and explosions, hot girls, hot guys, fast cars. And I watched all, what, 9 of them? Literally just for the cars. I mean, that's the only reason I watched. I would always fast forth a two, car, there it is. But this movie, Lost Bullet, is more rooted in realism. The characters have genuine depth and struggle. It's a good story that you really don't quite know how it's going to end. Plus, it's not 9 hours long, and there aren't 8 unnecessary sequels. And hands down, no joke, one of the best fight scenes I've ever seen in a movie. Not because it was like very martial artsy, but because it's all fists and kicks with more realistic actions that just actually might take place in a real life brawl. Anyone who's a fan of martial arts or mixed martial arts, wrestling, etc., would definitely get a kick out of it. Pun intended. It's called Lost Bullet. Just click on English dubbing or do English subtitles. You'll be fine. But you will love it. Number two. I've mentioned my friend and fellow comedian Dr. Laura Hayden's post a few times on this show, as she often posts funny, interesting, and quirky facts about everything from the animal kingdom to human behavior, and this latest one, right? Check this out. Sarcasm improves confidence. People with a sarcastic personality are also happier, healthier, and live longer. Oh, great. But I did my homework, found that was interesting, so I did some Googling, and I found this: 5 benefits of sarcasm, according to science. Number one, sarcasm and humor might make you appear more confident, especially at work. Thomas Bitterly, a postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Michigan's Stephen M. Ross School of Business, said, "Given that humor is risky, telling a joke signals confidence and can improve creativity." Number two, sarcasm improves creativity. Author Li Huang, an assistant professor of organizational behavior at INSEAD Business School, said, "Construction and sarcasm interpretation are conducive to abstract thinking, a key cognitive precursor to creative thinking." Number three, sarcasm can make criticism almost seem pleasant. Melanie Glenwright, an associate professor of psychology at the University of Manitoba, said, "Speakers may use sarcasm to deliver insults in professional or social settings where they want to criticize another person in a less harsh manner." That's a no-brainer. Case in point, Don Rickles. He's gone now, but he's a legend when it comes to sarcasm and insult humor, and he got away with bloody murder because he did it with a smile on his face, and you understood context, and plus we didn't have this amateur woke culture that we have now. Lisa Lampanelli, same thing. Brilliant comedian, insult culture, even more harsh, but it shows intelligence and also that just kidding factor. And insults are a lot easier to take when they're in the form of sarcasm and comedy. Number four, sarcasm might make you feel... let's start that over. Sarcasm might make you appear more intelligent. Glenwright also said sarcasm could also be used to convey humor and jocularity, which can improve a mood both in the speaker and the addressee. And finally, number five, sarcasm might make you appear more intelligent. The article says saying something that is funny and appropriate is difficult. That's true. Funny's easy, appropriate's easy. Funny and appropriate, especially in the form of sarcasm, that's hard. That's a skill. That's why if everyone thinks they could be a comedian, you should come to where I work. I could be a comedian. I'm pretty funny. Well, get on stage, Hoss. We make it look easy. It says it requires being able to recognize an opportunity for humor. Did someone just say something I know a funny response for? And being able to quickly generate or recall a funny response and being able to predict how the audience is going to respond. On top of those things, delivering and timing also matter. That's the thing about stand-up comedy, because I will tell you this much, when comedians are working on stage, especially the fast, rapid-fire comedians like myself, we are doing so many things at the same time. We're telling the joke we're telling, reading the audience, thinking of the next bit with the caveat like I might need to switch gears because if this goes really, really well, I need to be able to respond to whatever's happening in the room, or if it goes south, I can get to the next bit right away. You have to be doing one thing while getting the next thing ready simultaneously, not seconds later, at the same time. And number three pro thing. Every Wednesday, worst album covers ever. Years ago, I was in a local mom and pop shop, record shop, and enjoyed discovering odd album covers that are not found in the mainstream. That kind of became a hobby in person and, more importantly, online until I had a few hundred of them. So this is a short weekly show I started last week. It's on YouTube. It's on my YouTube page there. And I do 7 album covers, one for every day of the week. You should subscribe to my YouTube page and get a message when a new episode premieres. They're short little 2-3 minute episodes every Wednesday. It's called Worst Album Covers Ever. So a again, please download my book from Amazon, subscribe to my YouTube page, and hear the show on 14 podcast platforms, because Amateur Nation is not just a podcast, it's a movement. Remember, amateurs, we see you. You're not at home. Don't do life wrong. Go pro. Don't be an amateur. For Amateur Nation, I'm Lou Santini, and this has been a Big Major production.
Thanks, Lou. We'll see you next week.